Let's turn once again to the Gospel according to Luke. We'd been considering in an Advent series the things that occasioned the birth of the Savior, the things surrounding the occasion of the birth of the Savior, especially with regard to Mary and the visits of angels and of Elizabeth and John the Baptist to her and her to them. Now we want to consider something that happened shortly after Jesus was born and in the temple, and that is the meeting of Simeon with Jesus, whom he calls the Consolation of Israel. And so we want to consider the song, or the songs as I would put them, of Simeon. And let's do this in light of the context in verse 21 of Luke chapter 2, and we'll read through verse 35. Luke chapter 2 and verse 21. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, Jesus, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel Gabriel before he was conceived in the womb. And now when the days of her purification, Mary's purification, according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb, the firstborn in Israel, shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And what follows, the rest of this reading, is the text of my sermon. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. We could read that as the King James as an imperative. Instead of now, here's the fact, you're letting your servant depart, we could read that, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. Let me go home to glory. For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared before the face of all peoples, light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, to the glory and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against, it will be contradicted. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. We have a wonderful account here of the childhood now of Jesus, and the wonderful account punctuated by a wonderful visit of a Spirit-inspired and Spirit-filled man, Simeon. We've considered the visit of the angel Gabriel to Mary, and as well he had come to Joseph and assured Joseph that this whole holy conception was of the Lord. And we've considered the visit of Mary to Elizabeth and of John the Baptist leaping in the womb and the response of Mary's Magnificat, this wonderful praise of God. Now we want to consider this amazing visit of Simeon. And he joins in the wonderful visitors, and he's described here as a just and devout man who's waiting for the consolation of Israel, or the comfort, the Savior of Israel. And it seems very likely that he's an old man, because he's waiting, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit in verse 26 that he would not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. And then we have him praying with regard to his departure in verse 29, which is evidently referring to his dying. You're letting your servant depart in peace, or let your servant go now, let your servant die. So it seems that he's an old man, and this is how I'm going to take this this man Simeon. He's an old man, but he still has a song, and this is amazing about him. When he says things about this event and this child in verse 28, even as Mary said certain things when she said, "My soul magnifies the Lord," we are to read this as a song. And again, I want to emphasize that because it's a special verbiage, a special word that he has that reads like a psalm, reads like a psalm, those elevated, wonderful songs of the Old Testament. But here, on the brink of the new, they're singing again in a New Testament light. So I want to remember that. But the rather odd thing about this song is that the two stanzas, there's really two songs here. There's one of a major chord, you'd say, and it's all wonderful, and there's salvation come, and the Gentiles are going to be gathered in. And then there's this looking at Mary, and after he'd blessed Joseph and Mary, and maybe you'd call this not a song, but it's an announcement which is rather in a minor chord sort of way. It's a sobering announcement of a problem that's going to happen that revolves around this child. He's set for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and there's going to be a sword, great big sword, stabbing Mary herself as the mother of the child in the heart. But it's part of the song, part of the statement of God through Simeon for Mary and Joseph, and then also for us. It's inspired by God that we learn that part of the song too. Absolutely vital, so that we are those who understand the gospel of Jesus Christ to the full. So I want to consider this aged one, and I want to be personal here in the, always, of course, your servant wants to be personal, but in a special way, in the first point, this is Simeon's song just before he dies. And in a way, this is how he's prepared to die. He meets Jesus. It's been revealed to him he's going to meet the Savior. And he can't die before his house is in order. And his house is in order only as he meets the Savior and takes him up in his arms and embraces him. Then he can go and depart in peace. And a part of the personal aspect of this is really what is for us too. It's the way to depart this life in peace, embracing the Savior. There's rich gospel here of personal holiness and preparation, not only for life, but for death. And then, too, I want to be personal here and gather you around and me come to you, because an old friend of mine died yesterday. Old, and he was old in years, too. And this is a sermon that I preach reflecting on that. May he rest in peace. and may we. So I want to talk about this gospel of Simeon. And first of all, as he talks about things quite old, he's an old man, and I think for all of us who are growing older, the more we grow old, we like old things. Old things, firm. Nothing excitingly new, but wonderfully old. And then things new, though. Simeon has something new to say, and he's evidence that there's something new that is going on among the sons of God. And then finally, he sings of something cross, which is the gospel. Simeon, aged Simeon, is described in especially two ways in the context here. And we don't know much about Simeon. We don't know where he came from. People have tried to imagine, well, he is the son of one great rabbi, and he's never mentioned in the books of the rabbis. He's never mentioned in the New Testament anymore, but especially in the books of the rabbis because of his relation to this child. Again, we don't know. Seems to me he's almost as mysterious as Melchizedek, without father or mother. There's something wonderful about this one who seems to spend all his time in the temple. There's a man in Jerusalem and whose name is Simeon, and so he goes to the temple, and there he is, led by the Spirit. Again, we don't know except that he's just and devout. Verse 25, just and devout, not just, and not just devout, but both. And then he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. That would be for the fulfillment of the promise. So he's just and devout. And that means he's holy, he's pure, according to the Ten Commandments we read. The Ten Commandments, the moral law, what is God's will for us, but also according to all the other laws of the Old Covenant. His very behavior here revealed, just like Zacharias and Elizabeth, is speaking to us of the things old. They were holy and just and devout according to all those laws, meticulous about keeping those things. Because God had said, this is my will for you, Israel. This is how you're going to learn things of me. And so he's punctilious. He's careful about things and about the rituals and about offerings and all these things. And so you could say he was really blameless. And there's nothing that is said here of his sinning. But we know that he is a sinner and that he knows he's a sinner. We know that because of the second thing that's said about him. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel. And it had been revealed to him because he's waiting so hard, and that means he's praying about it too. It had been revealed to him as a blessing that he wouldn't die before he'd actually see the consolation of Israel. He'd actually see the Messiah for whom he was waiting. We don't know how long he was waiting. That's not said either. Was he waiting just when he got older and more serious about religion? I don't think so. I think he was a man in the habit of waiting, a true covenant son of God who didn't say, I'm going to sow wild oats and then wait when that's all I can do. I can only limp. No, he was a waiter. This was his demeanor. And waiter he was, waiting on the Lord, praying with regard to the Lord, because he knew that there was salvation in this consolation of Israel. That's why he's called the consolation of Israel. And the word there, consolation, is the word from which we get the word paraclete, which means comforter, someone called alongside to be your advocate. We read of that in 1 John 2. Said of the Holy Spirit, said of Jesus, who says, I'm going to send you another comforter when he goes away. But I don't want to be distracted by all of the different ways that it's used. But you think of Isaiah 40. Maybe one of the mountaintops of the gospel in the Old Testament. Isaiah 40. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Comfort ye. Your warfare is accomplished. All these things. Console ye. Bring to the people, ye prophets, the truth of salvation from sin. That's the old thing to which Simeon was clinging. Because the other old thing was sin. The old thing was the gospel, and the old thing was sin that had to be dealt with. As old as Adam and Eve in their fall, as old as Israel, and older still, the nature of man to rebel against God, and the wages of sin, death. Note here, Simeon is staring death in the face. And when he sees Israel's consolation, he stares death down. For he believes. He sees death, he feels death, but he knows life, eternal, in this consolation of Israel. See, Simeon, he's just and devout. He knows that's not going to save him. Sin will kill him, but all his justness and devoutedness, that'll kill him too. That's all he has. That's all we have. He needs, God knows, the assurance even of a sight of the Messiah. And he doesn't stumble over Jesus. He's just a baby. How can he save me? He needs help. That's the consolation of Israel. Right there. Circumcised. How can he help? He's made under the law. No matter. Actually, maybe that does matter. Maybe he has to be. Made under the law to fulfill all righteousness, that God would be God in comforting his people and deal with sin righteously. Because before Simeon's being just and devout, God is just and devout. God matters. And it matters to God that it be God. So, there's Simeon. And he sees this babe, he's blessed, and he calls this babe, rightly identifies him as the Lord's Christ. Verse 26. He's the Lord's Christ. He's not a fake. He's Jehovah God's Jesus, Messiah. And then he can die. There's a connection here. There's an amazing statement here of a man who's really ready to die, whose house is in order, whose will doesn't matter, but whose heart matters. And then he can go in peace. Now, I say this is an example to all of us. We live and die. And here it is, the gospel of how to be ready to die. Are you ready to die? It's not morbid. It's called reality. You ready to die, young people? You ready to die, children? That doesn't sound so fun, does it? You're ready to live. You're ready to live. And this year, you got resolutions. You're going to live, and you're going to do this, and you're going to go this place, and you're going to have fun. You have a career ahead of you. You're going to go to school. We parents, we look forward to things and all this. But the godly, you see, follow Simeon, waiting on the Lord, ready to die. But the waiting on the Lord, of course, is not putting life on hold. You think Simeon was just waiting on the Lord and just twiddling his thumbs? Was he just sitting there on the couch? They have a couch in the temple? Busy in the things of God. He's just and devout. He's going to obey as much as he can do this physically in his body. Certainly his soul is going to be involved in this thing called loving God and loving the neighbor, the sum and substance of all the will of God. And not to earn anything, but because it's simply what God requires and what makes us happy as God's people. And we love to serve God. And we wait on Him. And we're very busy in all our waiting. And maybe even in some religious activity, we have to be told to slow down. Because there's too much of our justness and devoutness in the sense that we're depending on ourselves and only feeling good about ourselves when we're going to this and doing that and so on. But there's not enough waiting on the Lord. So life's a balance, and 2020 will be a balance between that. Not you play off one against the other, but you see them both together. God and godliness. Christ, the gospel of our deliverance. He's done it all. He does it all in our doing in response to His salvation. Are you ready? You see how he exemplifies for us really what it is to be ready. And this part of the gospel here, the message of Simeon, is the message about what happened to him. The parents brought in the child Jesus, and just at that moment he came by the Spirit into the temple. And the parents are doing for Jesus what was according to the custom of the law, and Simeon was doing in the Spirit what he needed to do. He took up the babe in his arms, and he blessed God and said this song. That's what it is to be ready. Embrace Jesus. That's to be ready for life and to be ready for death, and not to have any fear, but to march into a year full of doubts and full of unknowns, knowing the consolation of Israel. Church, families, whatever phase of life, you know the sweet consolation of Israel. You know the babe, you know the boy, you know, the dying Lamb of God, the risen Lamb of God, the coming again Lamb of God, Lion of Judah. You know that? That's being ready for the new year. If you're ready to die and you're ready to live, and you know the forgiveness and the grace and the Spirit's presence. And this is to speak, this lesson of Simeon of old things, of sin and death and life in Christ. It's to speak of new things too, new things. And this is also what Simeon teaches us. And so Simeon took up the babe in his arms, and he blessed, praised God, and he sang, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace. No fear of death. according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepare before the face of all peoples, and a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. There's something here, first of all, we need to know of fulfillment. The new thing is fulfillment of old things. And the fulfillment is seen in Simeon's coming into the temple, maybe one door of the temple, in the spirit. And Joseph and Mary and the babe being brought by Joseph and Mary to do the things of the old covenant law. And Simeon led by the Spirit, and those parents of Israel led by the law. And they meet together. And you have this amazing picture, I truly believe here, of God saying something new has come in this babe. Used to be I revealed the old gospel things, the old Abrahamic covenant things, by way of old covenant with Moses, laws, and all these things. And now there's Simeon, and Simeon is this man of the Spirit, and you find, amazingly, all these references to Simeon's having the Spirit upon him, verse 25. Same idea as in Pentecost. The Holy Spirit's poured out. It's upon the believers there, the 120 gathered. It's upon Simeon, same way. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And he was led that whole way, and also to sing this song, which is inspired by the Spirit in the gospel according to Luke. There's something here, you see, of the new covenant. Even before the new covenant is established in the blood of Jesus, Simeon's saying, this is what's happening here. This is the dawn of something new, of the doing away of an Old Testament letter that kills, and of the substitution of this wonderful relationship with God in the Spirit that makes alive. And all through Jesus. Not to do away and abolish Old Testament things, but to fulfill them of all meaning. Of all meaning. And to show that there never was a way of justness and devoutness and Levitical punctiliousness and obedience and old or unclean animals and clean animals and so on. Never was a way that could do anything but show you sin and show you the need of the consolation of Israel. And Simeon's about that. This old man who loves the old paths, Jeremiah 6:16. Loves the old paths of the gospel. Ushers in the age of the Spirit, or the Spirit through him does this. An old man delighting in gospel things and new things that are coming to pass. He's not too old to learn and to sit even at the feet of this babe, as it were, and to learn what God is teaching of the richness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is front and center here in this text. There's an old meeting new. There's an old representing the old and the truly pious in Israel whose old path was to look to Jesus. But now there's something new, some advancement. And this we must see as well. If we are to understand the Old Testament and its limitedness, but also the Old Testament and its continuity, how it is a prophecy in everything of the new come to pass and of the greatness of the blood of Jesus and the gospel of Jesus, we have to understand Simeon's being used here to represent this whole thing that's happening this old thing meeting new thing, and there's going to be not a clash, but there's going to be this wonderful meeting. And the new will take up the old, as it were, in his arms. And he'll take up this new babe that's come, this wonderful Son of God. And you see this by his song, where he says, does Simeon, mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared, you planned, you've decreed before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. There's fulfillment of prophecy here. There's fulfillment of Isaiah and 52, for example. And if I can get this here, Isaiah 49, where the prophet says, indeed, he says, it's too small thing, is it? It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob. Too small to you. And he's speaking here of Jesus. Too insignificant a thing for you that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob alone and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I'll also do something better. I'll give you as a light to the Gentiles, Isaiah 49:6, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. So right there in the Old Testament is this plan of the new that will be fulfilled in Jesus, and the glory of God will be also in Isaiah 52 described as the Lord making bare his holy arm. In the eyes of all the nations and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. And so Old Testament prophecy, speaking to Israel, addressing Israel, but speaking of the fact that Israel will be enlarged. Israel's tents, Shem's tents, will be enlarged, and Japheth will share in the wonderful blessings of Israel as the Gentiles are brought in. And here you find here the glory of the people of Israel being in the salvation of all these people, not in her being once again restored to earthly glory, as some people think, that the glory of Israel will be her one time for a millennium, for 1,000 years, brought back to Old Testament glory, and Jesus will recome and they'll repeat the sacrifices. What a sacrilege. Now, the glory of Israel described here is her coming of age and her being many people from every tribe and tongue and nation and ethnicity and political party and all of the people that you can't stand. They'll be there because God makes them stand in the righteousness of faith and by the grace of God. This is the idea, the whole idea of the New Testament. This wonderful revelation of God saving all kinds of people, doesn't matter your nose, your obedience, your justness, your devoutness, it all depends on the child, Jesus. And when all kinds of people that you don't even know, that smell different than you, that have different customs of you, when they are gathered in, we don't push back at that. And when they're gathered into our church and they're all kinds of sinners, we don't say, oh, no. We rejoice. It's the salvation of the world. God's own from every corner, every darkness of the world. So Simeon speaks of some things new. And finally, he speaks of something cross, and I mean the cross of Calvary. And I believe this is part of his song, even though he's addressing specifically Mary in the last verses of this text. He looks to Mary, and Mary his mother. Behold, this, and child isn't even in there, isn't it? It's in parenthesis or in italics in our Bibles. This is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, for a sign which will be spoken against, it'll be contradicted, Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Beloved, here's Simeon speaking of the battle. Here's Simeon speaking of the cross. This is what Jesus is all about. A salvation, glorious salvation in all the world. And here's the one, and now I can go in peace, and yet it's not without a terrible thing. But a wonderful thing. It had to be done. This one crucified. Or we die and there is no peace. And we live and there is no song. He's born to die. And this, of course, will be a great grief for Mary. Her son. You know, we don't like to say too much of Mary, but we shouldn't say too little of Mary either. We don't want to say too much that she herself bore sins with her son and empathizing with her son. We don't want to say that she lives in heaven now as a kind of female redemptress. But you think of the pain of this one. Sometimes mothers in their worst moments can say of the son or the daughter or whatever, well, yeah, they had it coming to them. Because I know that little guy or that older teen or whatever, and how sinful they can be. Mary had no stories to tell of a naughty Jesus. No stories to hide in her heart. Sinless son. Never had to scold him. Though she thought sometimes she was right to scold him. When he was in the temple and 12 years old, but then he scolds her. Don't you know? I had to be about my father's business. Amazing. One singular vision, this son, to serve God. And Mary, just like another sinful woman and mother, and so busy with this and that, and so little the thoughts of God. And then you see Mary at the cross, and hardly anyone else is there, and most of the disciples are gone. They've run away. And the pain she must have felt, the sword that went through her heart, when Jesus is there, her son. But also, and more, when Jesus was there on the cross and she staring at him, who's the Savior of Mary, and Mary considering, if only in a pre-Pentecost sort of way, that Jesus is there and she put him there. Her sins were why he was there. And our sins are why Jesus was there. Now, of course, we don't know just how much he understood all that. We know. And this grieves us as well. But what happens in this son, Simeon says, is that there's going to be a great shakeup. And even in Israel, there will be this fall and rising of many in Israel, and a sign which will be spoken against, and the thoughts of many hearts are going to be revealed in this son. And the idea, beloved, is that Jesus has come, and the more he's revealed, and then he's crucified, the more he's revealed now even in the gospel preaching of Jesus, the true Jesus, there's this one who's front and center, and whose truth is front and center, so that everyone who sees it must and is confronted by this Jesus. He's this confrontational Christ who is constantly saying, repent of your sins and believe on me, and therefore calling people to make a choice, really. Will you have me or not? And there can be no neutrality. Nothing. And nothing today, as we hear Jesus, who said, for the falling and the rising of many in Israel and in the church and in all the world. What do you think of Jesus? Really? Not just now in your thoughts and your piety and your dressed up. But every single day and in your hearts. You see, the gospel is revelatory of hearts. It shows who's for and who's again. Are you for me or are you against me? Because that's the only option. Is your house for me or just some of you and some of the time? Is your work for me? Is your play for me? Is this time of life for me or is it not? You can't put Jesus off. You can't do that. You can't do it. You either embrace him and you take him up in your arms, or you say, oh, not for me. Too hard. Too much. And it's not for my buds. And I'd rather have friends whom I can see and joke around with than Jesus, whom I must worship, and who says, if a man come to me, let him die, that he might live. And Simeon's about the cross. He's about the stumbling block. Peter will write of that. To us who believe, he's precious, but to those who don't believe, and he's especially referring to Israel, the Son of God's a stumbling stone. They trip over Jesus. And we see that history long, in the sacred history of the Bible. We see that, however, history long in the church. Wherever the gospel is faithfully proclaimed, their people say, I don't want it. Now, many say, I want it. Many are born again by the Spirit working in the gospel, but many are hardened. Beloved, this is the song. The major chord, the minor chord. The gospel of Jesus Christ in Simeon, old man. Lessons personal about living and dying in peace in Jesus. Lessons for this whole world. A lesson of the cross. Let's learn a lesson. Learn it. Learn it, young children. Learn it, old men. Never too old to learn. Never too sinful for Jesus. Savior from sin. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we pray you would bless us. Bless us so that we can wait on you more. Bless us so that we can depart in peace and be just and devout and waiting upon the consolation of Israel. And then bless us so that one day, Lord, we may depart this life in peace too, trusting in Jesus and his blood and righteousness. All other ground, sinking sand. Hear our prayers, Lord. For Jesus' sake, amen.